If your potential doesn't leave its fixed position, you tumble down into the poison sea. If your words don't startle the crowd, you fall into the streams of the commonplace. Suddenly, if you can distinguish initiate from lay in the light of the sparks struck from stone, if you can decide between killing and giving life in the light of a flash of lightning, then you can cut off the 10 directions and tower up like a 1,000-fathom wall. But do you know that such a time exists? To test, I am citing this old case. Look, if your potential doesn't leave its fixed position, you tumble down into the poison sea. Your potential means possibility. Possibility means the our nature is just like a vast expanse of an ocean from which the water comes up constantly. So potential is not something you don't know because it's coming up, but you cannot grasp it exactly what is a potentiality. A potentiality or possibility is anyway something what you can verify right in the middle of, you know, the full aliveness of your life, day by day. So that time of potentiality or possibility coming up anyway. So possibility is appears and disappears anyway. Appears, many things appears, disappears. There is a possibility. And countless things coming up. Your capability, your knowledge, whatever it is, coming up. That is our original nature. So that is nothing but, it is not the matter of a philosophical discussion, philosophical world, but nothing but just a function, process. Okay. So we say working or function, according to my term, it is a full aliveness. So your potential means your full aliveness of your life doesn't leave its fixed position. For full aliveness of your life actually doesn't stay, doesn't consent to stay with full aliveness, because full aliveness is consent to full aliveness. So if you fixed your life, immediately you stumble down into the poison sea, because your original nature is constant full aliveness, so-called potentiality, or so-called possibilities, so eternal possibility, whoever you are. So constantly I always say, anyway, let's give away your life to eternal possibility constantly anyway. That is just like pour the water into the empty pump, water pump, and then you move your hand, the water, the handle of water pump, gradually water come up, you know. So anyway, return your life, the bitterness and the sadness and the pleasures, so all things anyway, return to eternity, eternal possibility, just like a pouring empty pump. Okay. And then all your, it means work. It means nothing but function and full aliveness. It's not a matter of a philosophical world you can discuss. So day by day, you have to work. So very naturally, work come up. But if you don't do this, it's pretty hard to say, to live in this world. If you look at existing religions, not only Christianity, even Buddhism, I always feel that existing religion always mold the human life into a certain patterns. You should believe this, and then religion comes into alive, into existence. You believe this first. Of course, belief is important for us, but what is belief? So always something give, and then your life has to be molded into this candle mold, and then you are a good boy. I don't think so. You are not a good boy. You are dry fish. You are exactly dead, but you don't know. You don't realize. And then if you are happy, if you become a dry fish, you become a very obedient person. Do this, yes sir, you know, do that, yes sir, be obedient. But in a sense, your intellectual, radical, rational, and theoretical knowledge doesn't work. So in many ways, the existing religion always, in many ways, try to mold your life into a certain pattern. Not only believing in divinities. Now look at the Zen in the United States. They're always giving some koans and then pass. This is also, you already patterned. You are already deformed into a certain pattern. And then if you pass this koan, next. So, well, again and again, you know, religion and giving something and molding your life into a certain pattern. At that time, you are not dry fish, you are smoked dry fish. Do you understand? We don't satisfy dry fish, so we try to smoke the dry fish. That's interesting, isn't it? That is existing religion, we do always. For dry fish, oh, of course, you can taste a particular. It's pretty tasty, you know, dry fish is very tasty. But remember, it is not real fish. It's not alive. Dead. But you cannot dead dry fish because you are alive. But if you think your life from your you cannot. That's why you're confused, completely. And also, if you're confused, if you become confused, you try to give us some more information to you and molding your life into a certain pattern, so-called, you know, many disciplines, and put your life into something, and then you become smoked fish. It's tasty. Well, smoked fish is more tasty than a dry fish, but still it is not real fish. Real fish is really alive, okay? Remember this. So that's why you tumble down into the poison sea. Poison sea means a poison, you know, the smoked fish. You become, anyway, smoked dry fish. At that time, it doesn't work. It's pretty hard to live right in the middle of human suffering. But remember, in suffering is already great proof you are alive. So we have to anyway handle in many ways and day by day. And also, point is the people around you are also important. People around you are very critical, and people around you are dry fish or smoke dry fish. It's very hard to live. Don't you think so? Well, most of the human society, if you go to work and the people around you seems to be alive, but they're not really alive. Almost half dry fish. Half dry fish. Same smoked dry fish. So it's pretty hard. That's why you feel hard. That's why, anyway, the people, all of each of us, anyway, be present around a certain person, not as a not dry fish, anyway, as a vivid, real fish. At that time, you can really help. You can really help. Whatever happens, that is very important. So that's why he says, if your potential doesn't leave its fixed position, you tumble down into the poison seas. So when you're a child, it's very easy to educate. You should do it, this one, believe this one, and believe that one, A, B, C, D, E. Anyway, it's pretty easy. But when you grow and adult, you know, it's pretty hard to escape from such educations. Don't you think so? It's very hard because already you, in the bottom of your life, already such a way of life is rooted. So it's very hard to be free from. Free from, to be free from means to see, to be a face-to-face with your life, real life anyway. Regardless of whether you believe in something or not. Anyway, directly we have to see what is real life. That is pretty hard, pretty hard. Maybe you still, probably you may have still doubt. If it is true, why the Kagi gives the Zen, Shikantara, Shikantara, do it, just do it. This is also, you have a doubt. You are mold, Kagi mold the student's life into a certain pattern, so called Shikantara. I don't think so. Don't misunderstand this. So Dogen then says, read Gakudo Yojinshu. I don't remember exactly, but Dogen then says, if you want to practice Buddha way, you should believe first. What you should believe? You should believe in that life is completely in no confusion, no delusion, no perverted ideas. That means what? Nothing. Nothing to grasp. So-called, I want to believe. Nothing. So you should believe that you are, anyway, in no confusion, no delusion, no perverted view, no mistaken understanding. What do you mean? Can't you call this is a God? Can't you call? It is not. It is not. A certain ideas, you know. Anyway, you should believe that you are in no delusion, no confusion, no misunderstanding, mistaken understanding, etc. That means nothing. But believing in nothing means, well, it's not a matter of a philosophical word. It is something you have to do. You have to do. That is a practice. Practice. That's all. Do you understand? That's why, anyway, Shikantara is, what is a Shikantara? I don't want to mold your life into a certain pattern, so-called Zazen, Shikantara. If you believe this, Shikantara becomes sort of, not dry fish, but a gold dry fish. Putting a gold around the dry fish and the light comes up from the gold dry fish, and then you really believe wonderful, wonderful things. You know, so dry fish becomes a gold. But I don't think this is Zazen, okay? If you believe Zazen, it's kind of color like this, so it's the same thing. So they're looking at the wonderful angels coming down from the heavens, and please help, something like this, exactly the same. But I don't think so. Well, anyway, to do Zazen is you do Zazen. You have to do Zazen. To do Zazen is to believe anyway, to believe in that you are in no confusion, no delusions, no mistaking understanding. That is not the matter of a philosophical discussion. It is just be there. Right in the middle of Zazen. What is a no delusion, no confusion, no mistaking understanding? Well, you must be no mistaking understanding right in the middle of Zazen. What is that? Just said Zazen, becoming one, as with Zazen. So no confusion, no delusions, no mistaking understanding. But mind is always going fast, just like a Spider-Man, Superman, pure, like this. And it catches something, and then bring back, and then you say, oh, there is a mistake. It's really human mind, consciousness, just like a computers, it's really a computer. Your brain is really computer, fascinating computer. It's wonderful, but it's trouble for us. It's great, but... So anyway, Zazen, if you do Zazen, but you don't accept Zazen exactly as it is, but Zazen you accept is Zazen you have decoded it. Do you understand? Translate it. You translate. So I say, Shikantara, just sit down there. Yes, sir. And then immediately you translate. Okay. By what? By your consciousness. Immediate translate. So you can't, it's pretty hard for us to accept Zazen as it is without decoding, the Zazen or other words, language, whatever it is. I told you before, a woman and they had their facelift operations and the people praised her, the 100% perfect of operations. So people say, wonderful, you had the 100% success of a face operation, wonderful things. And then she didn't feel good because she accepted that wonderful praise words not strictly as it is. She decoded. It means her look used to be ugly. So immediately she decoded. Do you understand? Karagiri, wonderful teacher. Then I said, I have to do accept. But immediately I can't accept Karagiri, wonderful thanks. Still I decode. Yeah, is that right? How about your past life? Why don't you look at the past life? Well, obviously we do that. Well, of course, we should accept past and the present and future. But anyway, we are going to the future. Anyway, we are going to the future, not going backward. So Buddha is very compassionate to all sentient beings. Even though a person who killed 999 people in order to make rings of human fingers, that stories, and then he became monks by Buddha Shakyamuni's guidance one day. And then when they practiced begging in the street at that time, people asked him to perform Buddhist ceremony for delivering the giving birth to the child in safety. In India, they have customs. If you have a priest, you can get the priest to chant for the pregnant lady. At that time, she can give birth to her baby in safety. So they asked this monk to chant, but he immediately accepted that request with decoding the peoples, because he had killed lots of peoples. So he went back to Shakyamuni Buddha and asked, "What shall I do?" The Buddha says, "Tell her, I don't do anything to kill anyone to kill. So just perform." That's really great compassion. Well, immediately we decode. But it is not. If you decode your life, and if you decode, you know, the other's message or whatever, it's pretty hard to make your life alive. So we have to practice like this constantly. Without decoding, anyway, we have to do. Anyway, day by day, we have to live with all sentient beings. To live just with you in your territory is pretty easy to live vividly, but to live with the people vividly is not so easy. So anyway, that's why he says, if your potential doesn't leave its fixed position, you'll tumble down into the poison sea. If your words don't startle the crowd, you fall into the streams of commonplace. So anyway, words coming from anyway, that's full aliveness. When your life is fully alive, day by day, even though holding the suffering, the pains, etc., anyway, fully alive, and hoping that anyway, day by day. At that time, words coming up from silence, very deep. So people are really educated by those words. So I told you before, the word should come from not head, from silence. Silence means the silent world behind you. Because the world we can see your life, the world of your life, I can see the world, your world, but that is just a front. But behind your life are lots of stories, long stories, which are silent, very silent. It's pretty hard to say. But this huge vastness of the world behind your world, behind your life, really works, really work. At that time, you can world coming up, not only front, but that's from a silence, it's come up. That word is not the word, so you shouldn't understand just word. So behind the word, there is a huge world. That's why word is important for us. Bodhidharma says, nothing holy, vastness, nothing holy. That is a simple term. When the Emperor Wu asked, what is the essence of Buddhism? Bodhidharma says, vastness and nothing holy. Actually, we don't understand, but it is very sharp. Very great, wonderful term, words, coming from bodhisattvas, bodhidharmas, silent world. That's why still from generation to generation, even though we don't understand, still we have to think of it. Or we are captured by thinking of it. So, that is important for us. So, how can I get that word? Well, there is no particular pattern. All we have to do is just to practice day by day, you know, basically. That is really the planting a good seed day by day. And then the planting seed is what? Can you get some reward from a planting seed? Nothing. But planting seed is planting seed. But actually you can't get the reward from, because day by day is changing. So next moment, we don't know. That seed grows or fruit, we don't know. But planting seed is planting seed. And then, next moment, it becomes silent. So this silent really affecting your life. Your life. But usually we plant the seed and then expect something. And then we want to let the seed grow completely. If it doesn't grow, you're really disappointed. Of course we should take care of the seed you have planted. But we don't know actually. Nevertheless, we don't know what will happen. So, we have to accept the seed what you have planted silently. Anyway, totally accept. And silently, you have to take care of the seed what you have planted. That is important. And then very naturally, your life is deepened. So, if your words don't startle the crowd, you fall into the streams of a commonplace. Commonplace means a very usual word. The word become very usual. Other people use. Suddenly, the word is, language is very interesting. I went to Omaha one day and went to have a lunch with people at a Japanese restaurant named Genji. And a young lady there was there. And young lady was very surprised to see me, because she had never seen the Buddhist priest in the United States since she came. So she was very surprised and look of glance and gaze at me. Are you a Bosan priest? Yes, I am. She said, "Are you a priest?" She was very happy to see me. And then she said, "I am. What school do you belong to? What kind of Buddhist school?" So I said, "Zen Buddhism." I said, "Well, what do you do?" So, "I do the Zen." She knows the Zen anyway. She knows the terms of the Zen. So she said, "Oh, that's terrible." If I do that, then it's painful, isn't it? Oh yes, it's painful. But I said, wherever you may go, you can feel painful. She was very surprised. So she was very surprised, and she couldn't forget this term. Then finally she came again later, and just sits again with us anyway. It was very impressed. Wherever you may go, you feel painful. Like sleeping in the bed for all days and keeping the same postures, you feel painful, don't you think? Without doing anything, just to sleep, you know, it's very painful in many ways. Wherever you may go, pain is pain. It's very interesting. Just a simple, usual word, but it depends on the speaker and the receivers, listeners. Okay. How can the listener accept that word? If receiver, a listener is ready to digest a certain word deeply, it's wonderful, it's become. But if you're not, if you as a listener are not ready to digest a simple word, well, just the usual common word. Don't you think so? So, you must be ready to talk, and also you have to get the people who are ready to accept your word. That is also a very interesting point. So we don't know what is a sharp, helpful, suggestive word. We don't have any kind of word become suggestive and instructive. Very good word. It depends on you, and it depends on listener. That's why Buddha always use the word according to individual personality and circumstances, etc. Suddenly, if you can distinguish initiate from lay in the light of the stars struck from stone, well, it is just like according to being confronted with time and also meeting the circumstances, and you have to anyway do something, you have to speak something, but it is not something you can do after your thinking or by your technique. No, it's just coming up, just coming up. So that's why he says, in the light of the spots struck from stone. Well, then obviously use a particularly the book effect or using pretty often this kind of the light of the sparks struck from the stone, or the light of the flash of the lightning, like this. And then you believe Zen enlightenment is just like this, you know. You should get such enlightenment, otherwise you are not Zen student, you know. But I don't think so. I don't misunderstand. Well, this is just a word, okay? Just a word. But lightning, flashing lightning, comes up in many ways. You don't realize sometimes. Come up very naturally. Sometimes you can realize, but it's very rare. If you realize, just like a flashing light, it's very rare. That is what is called satori, you know? Satori, boom, it is. But I don't think this, don't expect such a satori always, okay? If you can't, forget it, never mind. Okay? Still, you can live in the light of a flashing lightning, okay? Anyway, because you are in the middle of the truth, okay? I told you, the truth is characterized by, anyway, what would you say, rebouncing your life, rebouncing, constantly rebouncing, okay? Do you understand? Rebouncing means if you touch it, you cannot stay with it, and then immediately you have to rebounce your life. That means shock, a spiritual shock, you know. If you really touch it, you can shock, you can have a shock. But if you don't, well, you don't. But actually, we are always touching, but our mind is very dumb, very dumb. So touch it, but we don't know. Always touch it, rebouncing and our lives, and well, how dumb our mind we are. That's why we don't. Then practicing constantly, and someday you really touch it, boom. Then that is called satori, you know. But it's very rare, very rare. But usually, Satori is a sort of a sneaker. Satori is just like a sneaker coming into your life. Then when you realize, oh, already I am. But this is also Satori, okay? Don't worry, never mind. So if you can decide between killing and giving life in the light of a flash of a lightning, then you can cut off the 10 directions and tower up like a 1,000-fathom wall. Well, if you can decide between killing and giving life in the light of a flashing of lightning, then you think just like you know, the nothing, killing a cat. Say something, and then if you don't say, I will kill a cat, just like this. I don't think so. It's not Zen. It is a part of Zen. But it is a very dramatic Zen. It's not common. Don't imitate. Well, in the Brooklyn record, there is another same style of a book, so called Shoyo Roku, Book of Equanimity. This is very different from this Brooklyn record. Brooklyn record, if you read Brooklyn record, always there is a fantastic enlightenment shows in front of you. And then from the enlightenment, all these words come up, just like a flashing light, you know. How is this? How do you like this? You know, always very fantastic and very sharp and dynamic energy here. But Shoyo Roku, Book of Equanimity, is very quiet. Very quiet. It's very interesting. Using the same coin and they explain, but a different feeling. So one of the Japanese Zen master didn't use the book of record, always using the other one.
Sure, you're right. That's interesting.
But I understand that one. So, but we should know this aspect of Zen teaching. Okay? But don't imitate. The Zen must be something coming up from your heart, anywhere from your heart. Anyway, digest Buddha's teaching in your life. You can decide between killing and giving life in the light of the flashing of lightning. Lightning, that means, anyway, alive instead of being stuck in a certain pattern of your life, what you have experienced, whatever, good or evil, whatever. Anyway, you must be constantly alive. At that time, anyway, you can really decide and between killing and giving life in the light of a flash of lightning. Then you can cut off the 10 directions and tower up like a 1,000-fathom wall. You can cut off the 10 directions and tower up like a 1,000-fathom wall. Anyway, you can really see the vastness of the human world without petitions. Anyway, that means the full aliveness of your life, not dry fish. Well, I told you yesterday, I am thinking, therefore I exist. They said Descartes, one of our famous philosophers. And also, Dogen then says to learn the Buddhism is to learn the self. And also, Buddha says the self is something you can depend on. You can make yourself a light. You can make a self a light. So self is, a light for you, a place for you to depend on. So I understand, I am thinking, therefore I exist, but this self is not the individual self, Dogen then says, to learn the Buddhism is to learn the self is not the individual self. Universal self. Universal self means complete beyond. Should I live or should I die? There is nothing to discuss about this. Why do you live? What is the purpose of living? Maybe you have a question. Why do we do zazen? To do zazen is really a question of to live. That is zazen. But anyway, so if you want to know why the reason why you have to do zazen means you have to know the reason why you live. This is a very basic. Well, this, the reason why you live means not the matter of discussing I should live or I should die. No. Okay. No preconditions. No sense of presupposition. A presupposition is itself has a question. Question why? Okay, why? The reason why we have to live is pointing out to anywhere presupposition itself. Before you think I should live or I shouldn't live or I should die. Completely beyond this. Because this is nature, original nature of the self. For instance, when you become a cancer, anyway, or when you are about to die, this is a very good example, that's why I told you anyway. When you become a cancer or sick, can't you, that is a sickness? In reality, is something, do you believe a sickness in reality is something you can discuss? Should I escape or should I stay? Or should I live or should I die? No way. No matter how long you discuss about this, what sickness is going anyway? Who is sick? Who is sick? You sick. Not some other people. You sick. You are sick. At that time, do you discuss about in your head, I don't like a sickness. I love a sickness. Well, it's ridiculous. Okay. Even though you say so, and then if you like a sickness, can't you stay with the sickness forever? No. You don't like a sickness? No, I don't like. Should you escape from this? Yes, I want. Well, that is nothing but thinking with your head, don't you think so? Sickness is here. Who is accepted? Who accept this sickness? You accept. This you is completely beyond any discussion. That is what is called the self in absolute reality. Absolute reality. So you have to learn absolute self. Beyond the discussion, should I live? should I live or should I die? Complete beyond. This is a self. This is a real self. But you can experience this. Well, we have to learn this self. Okay. From this point, if you discuss, should I live or should I commit suicide? It depends on you. If you want to die, you can die. If you want to live, you can live. So strictly speaking, there is nothing external to force you to live or to die. Nothing. Because real self is just going. Just going. Complete beyond should I live or should I die. Complete this. This is a real self. Real self. But through that thing you can really taste it, this one. And that self is what? Dogen then says you should believe this one. Self is in no delusion, no confusion, no mistaken understanding. Anyway, complete beyond. What is this? You just depends on this you. That's all. So it's faith, absolute. That is nothing but the reason of your life. Rhythm. Just a rhythm. Rhythm is not that you should catch it. Rhythm is you must be tuning to the dial of this rhythm and you should dance with it. Okay. That is your rhythm. Compared beyond you like or dislike. You should live or you should die. So, when you really tune in to the dial of this rhythm of the self, it is called truth. Anyway, it is called truth. So truth is to follow the rhythm of the self in absolute reality, complete beyond you like or dislike. So if you want to die, you can die. If you want to live, you can live. But you say, if so, well, let's do something that you like, because sooner or later we have to die. Or, well, good or bad, right, life is complete beyond good or bad, right, wrong. If so, why don't you do something that you like, you know? So even though it is all right to make a choice of unwholesome way of life, fine, it's fine. Why is that all right to become a bank robber? It's fine. But anyway, if you do this, if you become a bank robber anyway, you have to accept anyway something. So you must be in jail. There, that time you say, well, sooner or later we die, so at that time all I have to do is just to die. But that is really coward.
Don't you think so?
It's really coward because you are living in a Buddhist world completely beyond you should live or you shouldn't live. That is already you must be full of aliveness. And then you make a choice in something in the so-called bank robbery. And then if you are, anyway, put in the jail, you say, I can die, because sooner or later, we have to die. But at that time, you cannot die anyway, because you're a coward. Cowardness means you don't realize where you are. What is living? You don't. And then always you justify yourself in a certain aspect. So we say we are Buddha. Oh, we are Buddha. Why don't you do something as you like, you know? But it's really conceptual way of life. Very dry fish. So, death or life and death is not something you can fix. You know, the when something happens, all I have to do is to die. I'm ready to die. Well, you cannot say so, because death is something you have to accept, not as a dry fish. You as any way human being accept the death or life, good or bad, many things. So all we have to do is, you know, facing anyway opportunity and meeting our circumstances, and then we have to keep our eyes open to deal with everything carefully anyway, as much as possible. Let's live with the people instead of hurting and interrupting others. That is all we have to do. Because if you can choose many things, you can choose becoming bank robber, but you don't feel anyway good, even though you become a bank robber. Even though by your determination you make a choice of your life, but actually you don't feel good. And also, you make yourself a trouble to yourself and also others. Both. So it's not a peaceful life. It's not peaceful life. Full aliveness is to live in peace anyway, harmony. If you don't live in proper way, you don't feel good. So your life is, your mind is very wavy. So that is pretty hard. But if you always tune into the rhythm of life, rhythm of the self, so-called in the absolute reality, beyond you think I should live or I should die, anyway at that time, you can feel peaceful, very peaceful. That's why we have to open our eyes to see opportunity and meeting the circumstances and take care of our life, because everything is changing constantly. So, if you want to do Zazen, you can do Zazen. If you don't want to do Zazen, it's not necessary to do Zazen. But remember, there is nothing external to force you to live or to die, or to do Zazen or not to do Zazen. No, nothing external to force you. Okay. That means you can do anything. But do you know that such a time exists? To test, I am citing this old case. Do you know that such a time exists? Well, this is always a question. Do you know that such a time, such a way of life exists? Yes, it is. Only you are ready to see it. It's there, constantly there. Okay.
Do you have a question?
Hey. I'm talking about following the rhythm of our life.
Hmm?
Following the rhythm of our life and is the truth. how deeply are you talking about?
How
deeply, on what level are you talking about?
That is our absolute self means absolute reality means well, big scale of the big self. Big self. That's why I gave for example about the sickness. Sickness or death. If you face, so if you are about to die, well, that is the self in absolute reality. That is the absolute self, big self. It is not that big self, the absolute self is not completely, should I die or should I live longer? Don't you think so? Complete, there is absolute self going. Well, all we have to do is to tune into the dial of this rhythm of absolute self, day by day, don't you think so? But mind is not. Mind is always screaming, crying, and shouting, and helping, and getting to try to get something. But I understand this is a human being, but all we have to do is anyway tune in to the dial to this. Anyway, listen to the absolute self, the self in absolute reality. That is called the truth, we say. Truth. Truth is not something far from us. Truth is just like focusing on the rhythm of self in absolute reality. Okay? It's not so easy, but it's from now on, particularly in the 21st century, we have to live in that way anyway, because everything is, the more everything is civilized, the more human beings are complicated. So your intellectual sense are very sharp. And you can go any place. So you can't make your the rational sense of life blind. So we have to know, we have to use it for this. Anyway, through this, using the rational sense of human life and emotional and many things. And then we have to think how to live. In order to this, we have to realize, anyway, the self in absolute self, absolute reality, anyway. Because everyone can live. Not can, already everyone is in such a way. Okay? I took care of the young man who was about to die. At that time he screamed and shouting. He was very wild at that time because he didn't want to die. But right before he died, so he became quiet because nothing to do with this guy. Nothing to do. And also I was just by his bed, but I cannot do anything, just being there. So I thought there is a big, something big I cannot take care of, just going. And all he has to do is from moment to moment I watched him, what he was doing, just he was... He was just tuning into the dial of the real reality, but on the other hand, his head is screaming, but totally speaking, screaming comes from also, screaming is also in the rhythm, stream of rhythm, of just going. But he didn't realize. So all of, anyway, going in the big rivers, just going. If you realize, well, it's not giving up. It's not giving up your life or death. So we just jump into it and realize it and live fully instead of becoming dry fish. anyway, so-called death or life. Okay? So we can do it. We can do it.
Hojo-san, yesterday when you talked about that abbot of the Asian monastery who became paralyzed, and he said, well, it's my karma, had he become a dead fish or a dry fish in saying that?
I don't know. I should invite him to ask. Well, it doesn't matter. Anyway, he already died.
Well, I guess I didn't understand your point yesterday when I wasn't quite clear about when your criticism.
Yesterday I told for many, many years we don't realize our rhythm of nature, the sun coming up in the east and setting in the west anyway. We don't realize, just becoming one with it and without any doubt. For many, many years. But sooner or later we have mind and start to think, why the sun coming up in the east? What is Earth? Those stuff, and then we try to explain well, that rhythm of nature anyway, with what human beings completely became one with it, without any questions, you know. But when you have a mind, you have to think and then explain it. That is a myth, a story of myth, and philosophy, and psychology, and etc. And then finally, we really enjoy story of myths, and creating a story of myths, consciously, endlessly. So if you explain endlessly we can go, like this. So no end. But we depend on this is wonderful world. We depending on the myths and the philosophies they call it, but they are nothing but the explanation of oneness with nature, rhythm of natures. The rhythm of nature is exactly one with us, so it's not necessary to think. So primitive people don't have any ideas to think, just tuning in constantly, just like animals. Animals are instinctively tuning in, so they're happy, you know, according to human beings, anyway, they are. But completely beyond the happy or not happy, anyway, just tune in, day by day. What a human being can do, but a human being has a consciousness, that's why we always tune in, just like an animal, but immediately, we have to think. And they explain. That is a culture. Okay? Coming up. And then we depend on, anyway, just the culture and those myths and those philosophies, because forgetting oneness with the rhythm of nature. Do you understand? And then we try to find out what is living, what is life, and what is death. But life and death is going, so finally we try to get the something we can depend on very strongly, that is the happiness, position, fame, and the power, and that's the thing. Okay? Then if you get the power, if you get the social status, and then you think, this is all I wanted. And then you say, I am a happy boy, you know. But finally, no one knows. You have to die. Ha! So someone become paralyzed. But that sickness of paralyzing his body is something he didn't expect before. But for a bishop, for out-of-age monastery, realized it because he practiced for long. That's why he said, it's my karma. Well, he accepted very quietly. But the other person anyway, very confused, saying, that is, I didn't notice. There was a big trap to fall into. Because so far, he believed the becoming happy and becoming a happy life, better life is the final things he want to do. But finally, there is some sickness or paralyzing his body. And he couldn't do anything. So that was a big disappointment. Huge hole he had to fall into. Do you understand? That yesterday I told you this point anyway. So I told you we have to return to original nature of the self, so called we are born with the nakedness, we die anyway with nakedness. That means self in absolute reality, just going, nothing to put into, anything extra. This is a basic rhythm of life. Do you understand? Now, I always talking a bit. I have a certain position. Even a position, you can feel that. If you have a certain position, regardless of whether you have capability to explain some aspect of Buddhism or not, if you are in a certain position, you have to do. You have to sit down here and talk and teach. That's pretty hard, don't you think so? If you have enough capability and to teach, that's fine. But if you don't, or even though you have, you don't satisfy completely. So endlessly, we don't feel satisfaction completely. But the self in the real answer is, going to your life, Zen Center, Minneapolis, my life, including all things, just one big rhythm of life, going. So I must be there, basically. But my head is always screaming, no, don't come. Well, even though once a week, don't come, please. But everyone comes. So I cannot sleep over it. So I have to get up for you. So my head is always screaming, oh, help, please. Don't come. And I want to sleep more. But my life is gone. That is self in absolute reality. Don't you think so? That's wonderful. So all I have to do is just tune into the Dhyana to this rhythm. And the head scream, fine. Well, just like a flashing light, you know. Screaming and disappears next morning because the rhythm is going. So I have to be just right on there, day by day. Don't you think so? Do you understand? So according to Zen term of original face, and a big term there, Buddha nature and original face of the self, and a big term there. But strictly practically speaking, it's very realistic, and practically you have to do anyway. It's not philosophical discussion.
Yesterday you talked about the importance of having hopes, having dreams, and earlier this week you talked about less desire of being full absorption in the present, or being very mindful in the present. How do you have a big hope without having lots of desire and lots of distraction and lots of suffering?
If you have a big hope, you should have a big trouble anyway. But you should be prepared anyway. You should have possibility of troubles. If you have a big hope, don't you think so? If you want to have a big business, there are lots of trouble there. You should accept. Because that also picks up, don't you think so? So you cannot, I want to have a big hope, but I want to have a less doom trouble. That is egoistic, don't you think so? So for instance, I always tell you, puffish, it's very delicious, very clean meat, transparent meat, very beautiful. If you went to Japan, you can have it. But you have to cook it in proper way. Even you have a mistake to cook, you die. Very quick, in a minute, you can die. So, I want to eat the parfish, but I don't want to cook in a proper way. I don't care. Because you need lots of troubles, all regulations, and you need a certificate, credential from the cities as a cook. Okay? You need, So you have to train in the big trouble anyway. So, and also it's pretty hard to get a job, prepare, So, I want to eat anywhere parfish, but I don't want to cook in proper way. The same things we do always in our life. I want to be happy, but I don't want to do that again, because it's pain. If you want to be happy, or if you want to deepen your life in a big scale, well, with the universe, well, why don't you do it? That's pretty good. So if you want to run a big business and making big monies, and you have to have a big money, but simultaneously that money doesn't stay with you constantly. Well, money's coming in and leaving next moment. Coming in, leaving. That is circulation of the money. At that time, you can run a big business. Look at the Zen Center in San Francisco. They are not rich. They are very poor. In the end of the month, they don't have any money. The next month, in the beginning of the every month, money is coming in. In the end of the month, all money is gone. Do you understand? But they have green grocery stores, and green restaurants, and bakery bookstores, big business. So, money is coming in, living. Come in, living. But when you live, it's pretty hard, painful. We don't want to leave the money anyway. We want to keep it. But at that time, you can't run a big business. Okay? If you want to have a big hope, anyway, we should accept.
Anyway. I was just saying, you say, in your example of yourself, you would like to sleep in your mind and cease it screaming, etc. But it's not your whole mind, is it? I think it's not your whole mind that screams. Part of your mind, screaming.
Because I am teacher.
No.
Don't explain.
Well, okay. All right. Here's the question, Horace. How do we tune in to? To this question. If it's the whole mind screaming, what do we tune into?
Well, that's why you have to...
Or who does the tuning?
Well, you. I have to do.
Well, that's calm.
Sure.
Okay, that's the answer. So it's not your whole mind screaming. There's some part of you doesn't
scream. Whole mind, no. Just a part of my mind. So as a whole, all I have to do is to kill my life or to give life. Do you understand? To give life in the light of a flashing light, you know. So scream. Well, right, you're going, so get up and wash your face. So if you feel sleepy, pour the cold water in. Sometimes I don't like it, you know, but just do it from moment to moment. That's all. So.
Partly I was thinking that, well, you know, when I've been sick, you know, for a couple of weeks, or other people I've seen, some part resists very much, mm-hmm. you know, sickness or getting up or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But another part doesn't seem to care either way, always. It's just always the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's just calm. You always use the term calm or quiet. And I've experienced that, and I've seen that, you know, with some people. For example, I worked a little bit with Indian people in Alaska, you know, and in their tradition they had no religion. They were just hunters, fishermen. And when I got there, there was lots of trouble. No work for the men, and there was pain and not enough food. But one thing that was striking was I came from California, Berkeley, you know, and one big difference was these people were as unhappy as people I'd left in the cities, but they didn't seem to be as upset. I mean, they were unhappy, but they were much calmer. I don't know how to explain that exactly. So, I mean, they were hungry, but they didn't seem to care so much. They cared, but... Or, you know, somebody died, but they didn't... It wasn't such a big deal with the people in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So some part was always just quiet. And I also have seen that with sick people. On the one hand, you scream, but on the other hand, some part of the mind just goes.
So yeah.
That's what my question to you was.
Yes. But, well, for instance, Japan, you know, when it was the temples, and the temple was very cold, the temperature is, it was exactly the same as the outside, you know. In the winter, so no heating system. I didn't feel that happy or unhappy anyway, but because I have never experienced, you know, that wonderful house, the heating perfectly. I believe this is my life, so just accept. So no trouble. But if I know this life, my goodness. Yesterday, 2 days ago, night's gone. Oh. So, if you don't know, there's something different life than from your situation, you know, what you are there. Okay? At that time, no troubles. Because we don't know. But if you know, it's big trouble. So Buddhism is not discussing about that. Buddhism is, anyway, you have to know that happiness, no trouble, when you are right in the middle of unhappiness, because people don't know what is a real happiness. So, you know, right in the middle of unhappiness, they are not confused.